Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the May 11th, 2017 meeting of the Code Enforcement Board. The meeting is now called to order. May we have a roll call, Madam Secretary?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Venable?
Here.
Ms. House?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Hines did call me and say that she may not be able to make it this morning.
Okay.
So,
Linda. Okay. Here. We motion to excuse Mrs. Hines.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion Mr. Smart, second Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Okay.
All right, has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Any additions or corrections? And a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion Mr. Smart, second Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Would anyone like to or need to disclose any ex parte communications? All right, move on. Madam Secretary, do we have announcements?
We do have a couple of cases that are in compliance with the law that are not reflected on the agenda.
Okay.
Do you want me to read in the compliance cases?
Yes, please. Yeah, you might as well do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Then we can just skip over them.
All right, so we'll start with number two. PB021709 for 923 North East Street with compliance May 1st. On page 3, number 9, PEB041729 for 506 White Street with compliance May 5th. Number 10, PEB041730 for 619 White Street, compliance May 5th. Number 11, case number PEB041731 for 633 White Street, compliance May 5th. Number 12, PEB041733 for 121 Oak Street Circle, compliance May 2nd. Number 14, PEB041737 for 417 South Central Boulevard, compliance May 2nd. And under the new cases, case number 6, number 23, CEB051747 for Orange Avenue vacant lot is withdrawn.
What case number?
CEB051747.
Number 23.
23. That is withdrawn. On page 30, I'm sorry, on page 8, number 30. CEB051754 for 1019 Cozy Circle, compliance May 4th. Page 9, number 35, CEB051759 for 735 Mason Avenue, compliance May 11th. That's what you say. And I believe that is all.
Okay. All right, would code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right, here's our procedure, everyone. We'll be calling cases by number and for the most part in orders that are listed on the agenda. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. Are there any attorneys present? Okay. All right, so we'll first do our lien review. Number one, case number CEB0904-335215 Rebus Street, Estelle West. New owner, LaTanya Oglesby. Is the respondent present?
Is she supposed to be here?
Yes. Well, we'll be.
No, I mean, did she say that she would be here? Why don't we just wait over a while?
All right, we'll start with then lien review number two. CED, or Special Magistrate 01-15-03, 601 Main Street, Tlaib, LLC. Respondent present?
Yes.
Okay, please come forward and be sworn in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Michelle Dodani, 2521 North Halifax Avenue, Daytona Beach.
Archie Dodani, also 2521 North Halifax Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Is she calling where or from? Does it have 25
miles? Do
you hold
your number?
We do. Okay. Hear from code enforcement first, please. And then we'll give you a chance. Let's hear it, Mr. Jackson first. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Jackson.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This is before you for a lien review, and perhaps you all remember, this is the was regarding the Bad Boys Saloon. They came before you for violations that were a sound violation on the external of the building. We went through several other issues that came before you, ultimately transferred from magistrates. But all in all, the fine had accrued to the $15,000 max plus with a $1,514.32. The interest and recording cost of $12 for a total lien amount of $16,526.36. The city is saw the response of the owner and saying that he was the lien holder. You may recall though that this is some a situation that extended far deep into beyond even the bike week, which was one of the concerns we had at that time. The city does acknowledge and recognize he was the owner and he had a lease. I said lien owner, I meant lease. He had a lease lessee that was in the property that was a difficult lessee. Nevertheless, he really never followed through, at least from the city's perspective, on actually evicting them. And there was no promises ever made from the city of anything that we would do concerning the lien. We are giving consideration in the circumstances, and the city's request is that the lien be reduced to to 50% of its value, so to $8,000, I guess to make it, even if I can, $8,250.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Jackson?
No, I have questions.
Okay. Please come forward.
Sure.
I'd like to hear from you now.
And we've been here for 43 years, mm-hmm. and we have been a good citizen, and we tried everything to get rid of this Bad Boys. And Jim Morris was representing us. We had a proper lease, which was prepared by Jim Morris. He was going to represent, but now since he's working with the city, so it's a conflict of interest.
Correct.
But he was supposed to help us in this case, and it's not our fault. I think whatever should be the minimum, if there is any, should be for the lien. But not 50%. It's not our fault. And we tried, and not only that, once he's out, the whole city is happy, the court is happy, even my chit was thanking me. He said, Archie, thank you very much. I'm so glad that you got rid of him. So I think I have made everybody happy by getting rid of this animal. So please, I beg you, we have done our duty. and now it's in the hands of.
When did you finally evict your tenant?
Immediately we did. Jim Morris was doing it every time, and he was also, he already put the lien waiver, but after that he joined the city, so he...
I understand.
He joined the city, so obviously he cannot help me,
right,
and
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
And basically it's not our fault. They had a proper lease, you know, it's not, and it was prepared by Jim Morris also.
How so long was he a tenant?
I think 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And we tried our best to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Whole year I did not get rent. Till today it's not rented.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really in trouble. And I have done my best to and made it, the city and everybody happy.
Okay. All right. Any questions,
yes,
from the board?
It may be a matter of language. But, sir, you own the property. Under the, under our law, you're responsible for the condition, regardless of whether the, what you put in the lease. If that person violates the agreement, lease agreement, you're responsible. So you are at fault, and that's why you're here. Now, you, did you do it yourself? No. Did you want it to happen? No. But let's stop saying you're at fault because you are responsible. That's what we're here. Why we're here, because you are. And as far as what you did, you didn't do it to make the city happy. You did it to comply with the law. And I, you know, this may be a use of the language, I understand, but really, when you lease out property, you have to watch your tenants and see that they comply with the law. Otherwise, it comes back to you, which is exactly what happened. So I just want to make that statement.
Okay, any other comments from the board? Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
One of the other things I didn't point out, I think, would be relevant to understand is that the violation was a banner and outside storage, and the owner just as well as the tenant could have gone resolved it. I mean, he had the means and ability to resolve it, but nevertheless, it ran to its maximum. So, but all in all, our recommendation remains the same, $8,250.
Okay. All right, if there are no other comments, the chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $8,250, subject to be paid within 30 days of the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion from Mr. Harrington. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Taft. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, and opposed.
Opposed.
Roll call.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Weatherholt?
Opposed.
Mr. Howell?
In favor.
Mr. Smart?
Opposed.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Carey?
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. You talk to... Okay.
Madam Chair, I don't know if you actually announced it. I'm able to look at that pay over 130 days.
Yes, it was in the motion. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to get payment plan?
You'll have to talk to the city. All right, are the respondents here for lien review number one? They're not here. What?
That's Bill West.
Huh? Yes.
Oh, okay, please come forward. I'm sorry. Good morning. Hold on 1 second. We'll get you sworn in. Yeah. We are doing lien review number 1, CED 0904-335.
What's on your Ogilvy?
Yes. Okay, we'll hear from you in a second, or we'll hear from Mr. Jackson first. Thank you. You brought everything with you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a lien review. The lien accrued to its maximum of $10,000 with the recording fee is now at $10,022. The request that is before you today was not the original violator. The property was sold, and this requester obtained the property. I believe it was sold. I'm not sure how she obtained it, but this property owner obtained the property. The representation from the inspector said, okay, I'm being corrected. I'm being told it was not, it was their property, but the respondent who has the property now has done a lot of work. It's by the representation of the inspector, it's probably the best property on block. We're willing to reduce the lien to an amount of $1,500. And I don't think we have anything else.
Okay. Please come forward. You are LaTanya Oglesby, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Not really sure exactly what it is I'm supposed to say, but I will say that this home was my grandparents' home. They bought it in the early 60s. I have a couple of before pictures of it, if you've seen it. It was getting run down, but when the lien was imposed, my grandmother was living there. My grandfather had passed away. She was 78 years old and going through the early stages of dementia. We were not aware of that at the time. Eventually we found out, and my mom and aunt removed her from the home. I don't know if you've ever dealt with a 78-year-old person going through dementia, but you really can't tell them anything. So we could bring new stuff in. She would get rid of it. So there was, you know, we tried to help. That she was into gardening and things like that. So what the city, you know, deemed as horrible in her eyes at that time was probably wonderful, because it was something that she could do. I ended up taking the property from my mom and aunt. I paid a very nominal fee because they were, you know, getting tired of trying to upkeep the property, but they were not aware of the lien either. The only way that I found out was dealing with my bank, and we ended up doing a title search, obviously, because it went from my aunt directly to me with a small fee. We didn't do a title search because it's a family property and no one was aware of it. The only thing we did know about was that there was a porch, but it's been there my entire life, and I'm in my 30s. And my mom, once the city told her about it, when she owned the property, she got the porch removed. That's part of what the paint, one of the things they said was the paint was shifting. Well, they took off the porch and it was connected to the front of the house, so it was a different color. But like you said, it's now the best looking house on the block. We've put a lot of work into it, and we actually got it appraised, and it's worth $90,000, which is rare in that area. And you know, as long as it's in my possession, it's going to stay like that. So I would hope that you reduce the lien greatly or altogether. but as you saw, it does look a lot better. And
do you live there?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you still not have title insurance?
Yeah, no. I don't have the. I have insurance over the house,
right.
But not title insurance. Yeah, it wasn't. It was never a thing.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? Some questions? Thank you for fixing up the house. A good thing. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of lien to $1,500, subject to being paid within 30 days, where the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion? A motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. take care of our continuing cases. Case number one, CEB 04-17-18, Robert B. or Robert W. and Robert W. Hume at 712 North Wild Olive. The respondent present? Okay. No? All right. Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Rolanda Davis. The inspector reports that the respondent has made great progress in the dealing with the violations, but they're not complete, and so she is asking that this be an industry next cutoff for them to get this property finally into compliance. And I tend to miss Davis if you have any facts and questions about
them. Okay. I have some questions. Last time I remember we talked about the homestead issue. Has anything come back about that? We were going to find out that the respondent evidently was claiming homestead but didn't live there. He did. So it was reported that. Right. Okay.
Good morning, Davis, City of Daytona Beach, my credentials
are on
fire. Good morning. Yes, it was reported to the Volusia County Property Appraiser for the homestead. I'm just waiting back to hear from that.
Okay.
In the meantime, Officer Jesmer and Denzel Sykes have helped me to get the building secure. The squad has been removed and it's on the trespass arrest list with the police department. Since then, the owner has cut the grass. I've seen a couple of contractors over there that are trying to remove things from the rear yard. So I believe with a little bit more time, you'll see a difference in the appearance of the property.
No one is living there now?
That's correct.
Is that a that's the 11th, that picture?
Yes, that was this morning.
And what exactly remains to be done?
We have a few tires in the backyard. They removed a couple of planks from the side fence that was encroaching onto the neighbor's property. So he's working on removing that fence. I'm not sure if he wants to replace it, but he is removing the broken part. And then he has some rugs and broken windows that are up against the house that he's trying to haul.
Tell me, is this the original owner? Is this a new owner?
Original owner.
And this has been going on since December. How long does it take to remove some tires and rugs?
Well, we didn't have any correspondence with him for the first couple of months. I've just been in contact with him since the last board meeting, and I've actually met him on site with one of his representatives about doing something with it.
You're recommending that we not impose a fine and give him another 30 days? Is that your recommendation?
I would like to give him to the next cutoff. And if he doesn't make a significant progress in that time, then we'll come back for the imposition of the fine.
Thank you.
Is the water back on?
No, the water's not on because there's no occupancy.
Okay. All right. But the building is secure.
That's correct.
So what? Yeah, you mentioned windows. What windows are we talking about?
There were broken windows prior to the building being secured that are laying down on the side of the building. The framing, the wood framing of it.
So I really see almost nothing has really been done since December. Is this the people that nobody's seen for quite some time? I think it is.
So who's doing
work
he has several different handing in that have come in and given him an estimate on the work that they're anticipating doing. The next door neighbor has been keeping me informed of those people that are coming in and out trying to help him clean up the property.
Is the owner out of state?
No, sir. He lives in Long Beach. I know he's had some health issues, but he is, you know, mobile. I've met him on site a couple of times since last month.
Kind of Mrs. Huff. Did you want to say something? No. Well, I will craft a motion. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent effective today, May 11th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number two is in compliance. Case number three, CEB 04-17-15, Norman Riley at 340 Taylor Avenue. Respondent present? Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, you may recall the respondent was here at the last meeting. She had a challenge with a resident, or I guess a tenant, that was being very difficult to deal with. The property has since, the tenant has been removed. She's made, put the property on a trespass arrest site. She's now working on the issues of poor compliance. The inspector's recommending amending to the next cutoff. The inspector is Michael Fitzgerald, and I'll attend to Mr. Fitzgerald for any factual questions regarding
okay. All right, Mr. Fitzgerald. So the tenant is gone.
The tenant was gone for that 37 days. Michael Fitzgerald,
okay.
My credentials on
file
with the city. The tenant was disposed for 37 days. He moved back in. She had already put on the trespass arrest site. She started cleaning up, and she's going to have to eject the personnel.
I thought he was on the arrest.
It was while he was gone. We thought he had left.
But he moved back in?
Yes.
Did they arrest?
The tenant's been arrested? I mean, whoever he is now.
He went to jail for 37 days. And then when he got out, he came back.
He had a lease.
No.
No, it was a tenant at will, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's doing an eviction now.
So she's going through the eviction process right now.
Yes.
And has she done anything to clean up the property?
She was working diligently while
okay.
She was gone.
What can you tell me what she's done?
She would put all the trash out. She would call me up. I'd go by, take a picture of it, send it. It would be picked up within a day. And then I said just wait as we put stuff out so that it doesn't get overwhelming.
Right. So they pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Help me understand, if he was on the arrest list, why can't he be rearrested?
In this house, apparently, even the understanding of the inspector may not have been real clear. It appears that he was temporarily removed from the home involuntarily for an arrest. That doesn't terminate whatever claim of tenancy he may have. So if he was had some right of tenancy that required eviction, that right still remains. So him leaving and coming back is not something that we can remedy by arrest or trespass, but she'll have to remedy by eviction. I'll have to ask the inspector, I don't know whether or not she's actually started the eviction process, but what we typically do is when someone has to remedy by eviction, that's something that takes an additional step that they don't have any control over other than to take the action of getting it to court, then we ask to give them more time to allow that to occur so they can then bring the property into compliance. So that would be the recommendation.
Okay, I'm wondering, what your recommendation is, how much longer?
Well, we don't really know what the time factor would be, at least for the eviction to occur, but how much time would you need once the eviction is completed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it may be reasonable for us to look either to say next call just so we can get some feedback on what's happening with the eviction process and ensure that he's taking the actions necessary, or we can give it to the 60 days to see if it's all accomplished.
Okay, I have another question. I remember when she was here that she talked about being somewhat fearful of the tenant so that she couldn't work on the property or wasn't able to work on the property.
I recall the same, Madam Chair, and that's why I'm saying and acknowledging that the need for an eviction is the
right.
only real means she has.
Mm-hmm. Who was doing this work without permits if she was so frightened of going on the property?
What I recall from the last meeting is that it was someone at the father who was now deceased had allowed to be in there, so he had some, what would appear to be a lawful interest in being in property, and apparently was doing things that were in violation of the code. And so her responsibility now would be to make that person, if they're not giving her cooperation, to allow her to make the necessary correction.
Okay. She herself is not personally doing this work, is she?
She's not
personally doing the work?
Yeah, she was out there cleaning up along with some helpers.
So she does have help.
Yep, she still has no permit.
No, there was nothing. It's just trash. It's all behind those fences.
Although it said fence installed without permit on here.
Yeah, there was a fence he had put up, and
Well, Chair will entertain any other comments? Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff date, which is May 31st, 2017, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Smart, second Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay, thank you. All right, we'll move on to case number 4, CEB 0417-20, Irvin White. Mr. White here. Please come forward and be sworn in. Good morning. Good, thank you.
Irvin White. I don't swear, but I will tell you the truth.
Okay, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson, and then I'll give you a chance to talk.
Madam Chair, this is a circumstance where we really don't know. We haven't had any follow-up with Mr. White. You may call work back before you today for a progress report and determination of compliance date. So we'd like to hear from Mr. White what progress has been made and what he plans to do. You may recall this is a property where I think he was taking it down the foundation and then building up. So.
Okay. All right, Mr. White.
We wasn't taking anything. That was a five-month job. We wasn't tending the thing. That was a place that caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been getting plans and paperwork to remodel the place.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the level to move the debris, the cars, and everything outside. We've done all that. So the only thing we're working on now is all the paperwork to get the permit for the to start doing the remodeling.
When do you expect to start doing that?
Well, I got all the paperwork that the contractor gave me on the list to get to turn in for the permit, which I got the last one yesterday, which took 3.5 weeks for the survey. And I have it right here with me now. And I will give this to him on Monday. Because I don't think he's going to be back in town until on Monday. So we'll check with him on Monday, and I have everything in this package that's to hand to him.
Okay, and then that goes to permits and licensing?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I remember that this was had to go before the redevelopment board. When will that happen? Do you know?
I don't
Oh, it just has to go to the redevelopment department for approval? Okay, okay.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
You had tenants in it when it
yes.
burned down?
Yes.
Is it a multifamily unit?
Yes.
Is it zoned multifamily in the area? Is it zoning properly for multifamily?
Yes.
So what has happened? So what's happened since the last meeting is that you have gotten your survey.
Survey the ones and the doors. Speculation that he was asking for, and that was about it.
Okay.
the survey when it really took a long time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Would this have a designation someplace on here that it was multifamily versus single family on the documents?
You mean on the permitted documents?
No, the code enforcement on the, it just says, you know, what they found, but doesn't a multifamily or rent or commercial or anything, isn't that usually on the...
No, sir, we typically don't. I don't recall those notations. You mean on the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
No, sir, I don't think we typically
no, I don't
take notations.
We just... Right. Right. Right.
Because I noticed down in the hall, I didn't see it on the explanation either. I might have missed it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Or it's posted downstairs.
Yeah, when we put that, it's typically because that's part of the violation. I guess in this circumstance, it's not part of the violation. And although I said tear down and build up, and I understand Mr. White's correction on that, I think what we do understand, and he may agree, is at least what I recall is that it is a major, pretty much a rebuild type of probably right. Major project.
Because see, the building standards on multifamily and residential are extreme. And what I looked at on his plans, I didn't see some of the necessary. It's pretty hard to. I think it was discussed vaguely, you know, like on the slab and the footing, and it's pretty much a tear down compared to what it is now, meeting the codes.
Yeah, I think, and this may be what he was expressing in the delay. I mean, I think those are all part of just go through technical review. I believe that's part of the technical review process, at least for a permitting. That would, you know, take a look and ensure that he provides them with the things that they need to satisfy themselves with the permitting process.
All right. Go ahead. Do you have more stuff?
I'm just asking questions.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Jackson, what would be your recommendation?
Okay. And speaking with the inspector, Jerome McCoy, Mr. McCoy has stated that he... recognizing it is a big project, he believes 4 months is a reasonable time for compliance with some progress reports in the interim. And at least we probably need a progress report next month, just again to know that we're pushing forward, and then maybe we can give you a little more clarification on how far he's gotten with this. Obviously, it's something we'd like to see repaired, and it appears he's not, from past involvement, we know he has the skill and the ability, so it's really just the issue of him getting it done. So we'd like to see it get done. If he's working on it and if he's happy, we'll have to deal with that accordingly. So if we can have a progress report, then we'll have the satisfaction on Mr. White's diligence moving forward.
Would Mr. White be clear about what's needed in the next, if we were to a progress report, what would be needed the next time to satisfy code enforcement?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure I understand the question in the sense of what he needs to satisfy code enforcement. I think, you know, that's kind of
I know, a progress report is kind of open-ended, and here's what you know, have been able to do, and here's what you haven't done. So I get that, but I just...
I'd like to
and maybe if I think of it a different way, maybe what you mean is from this whole permitting process that everything that's necessary is done, and that he's actually
exactly.
Moving forward on his
exactly.
plan, as Mr. Weatherholt has been referring
right.
to. That
that's why I think we should set a completion date. And have progress reports, and if the progress report doesn't indicate that we're going to make that completion date, we can always change that. But if we see no progress, then we have can address that issue too.
But I concur. I think that there should be some kind of progress report. 4 months is a little bit long, I believe.
For progress or for the project?
Well, the project could take Oh, wow.
And that was our point.
I think the board definitely needs a progress report.
Yeah, our recommendation would be a progress report next month so that we know where we are. Until we can really know the full extent of the project. I mean, we believe 4 months is feasible, but like I think you were pointing out, until the plans are solid and approved, you really don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
But until we have a completion date, I don't feel comfortable that the progress report has to show progress. It's not just a report.
What I was getting at.
I'm concerned that the progress doesn't happen.
But if we just ask for a progress report and we're not satisfied that progress is moving, then what would our next step be?
We would have a compliance
date.
Right, which would show the reasonable time for them to get it remedied. Perhaps, I know that Mr. Wright is only answering what he's been asked, but I know he's been doing this for some time, and maybe he has a thought on how long this should take.
All right, let's hear from him.
All I'm saying is waiting on is to get the paperwork to do the job. I didn't want to go out there and start taking the building apart until you get the permit.
Good. So what we're trying to do is
get all the paperwork that turned in, which is out of my hand. The contract has to do that. And then pretty soon we'll get a crew of guys out there and we'll have a place looking decent on the outside. It won't be completed on the inside, but we'll have presses up on it, the shingles up on it, and we'll getting ready to put the
That would be progress. Right?
Yeah, here's my question. What should we see different in the next, if we come back here next month, what would you expect to be able to tell us that would be different than right now?
If they don't hold this permit up, I'm expecting to have the trusses up on the building, getting ready to put the shingles and stuff on it. So that's the minor stuff to get done.
By next month, you expect that to happen?
Well, it's depending on whether they have us to permit on it. And that's the only thing holding us up is getting everything we need for the permit. So when we get that in our hands, we'll be able to go to work. We ain't going to say we're going to be working on it like wildfire, but I want the place looking better myself.
Once you have the permit, how long do you feel it will take you to actually complete the project?
At least complete the whole progress, the whole building?
Yeah.
Intend to do to the whole building won't take me a minute, but just to get the building looking like a building sitting in the neighborhood ain't going to take that long, right. 2 months.
Satisfying the code requirement, the code violation.
Yeah, I want to have the whole code violation taken care of, but I want to completely remodel the whole building, not just the part that damaged.
Right.
I want to stuff all over the building, the drywall all the way through it, to have drywall in it. So I just basically want to rush and get the roof on the building, make it look decent, get rid of that black looking on the outside. Then we just work slowly with the inside sheetrock and all that stuff.
Right.
But I can't stand here and tell you I'm getting the Wi-Fi for as finished as getting that building completely done.
At
the hurricane, I have other property that people living in that are trying to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't stay there and work on that one project, but we will make it look better for the neighborhood and continue to work on it every month.
Okay.
And he's right. He's kind of at the mercy of the city. Depends on how long it takes for the plan review and to go back. But I think within 30 days, I don't know any reason why the city shouldn't have something, that's a reasonable amount of time for the city to go through the plan review and everything, and if you need to make any corrections on the plans or whatever. But 30 days should be adequate to come back and to let us know what progress he has.
Yeah. Now the question is, do we want to issue a compliance date?
That's up to the board. He is out of compliance.
All right. Any thoughts on that? All right. Chair will entertain a motion to continue a monthly progress report until the compliance date of, let's say, 7/5/17. So that would be July.
So moved.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion from Mrs. House and a second from Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. We'll move on here to case number 5, CEB 041-17-25, Robert L. and Gloria Long. Respondents present? Okay. We still have a farm with a good one. Yeah. All right. We'll hear from no respondents.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for it's number 5 for imposition of a fine. The inspector's jury Sanders. Mrs. Sanders reports, and this is one where we had the damage, fence, the owners are out of town owners and had a dirty pool. The fence has been repaired. The only thing that remains is still a dirty pool. And part of the situation was that the owner had to evict the property remains in non-compliance. The inspector was asking to amend to the next cutoff for them to take care of pool, and I will pin to Mr. Sanders to give a more clear explanation of what's necessary.
Good morning.
Good morning. Jay Sanders, City of Daytona Beach, Neighborhood Services. My credentials are on file. I had communication with Ms. Long. She's communicated to the people that were staying there. She didn't say they were renters or nothing like that. They were just staying there. They did clean up the property like they were supposed to, fix the fence, and it just came to a dead stop. Well, Ms. Long got the notice of hearing, and she called, and she was under the assumption that the pool was clean. So she told me in the communication she's coming back in June. She had to get people out, and she's going to get the pool done, and she's asking for the next cutoff. There's nobody there.
Okay, so
the pool is secure. The fence is around. That's why I can't even see in now. I can't inspect it at this time.
Okay.
Without permission.
But, right. Right. Okay, so no one's living there. So who does she have to evict?
She told me it was family. She didn't go into detail of what it was. And
but they're gone.
They're gone. Yes.
You're saying that the eviction process has already been done.
It's done. She's just
she did evict them. Okay.
Yes, she got them out. She has to get here from Texas. And
Texas.
She's an elderly lady, and she says she's got to get out of here, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
She has worked with me through the process.
Okay.
And, you know, she was going on what the people were telling her there at the house.
But the pool is secure. The house is secure.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, anybody have any comments or questions?
I keep hearing that. I'm wondering what the relationship between having to evict somebody and cleaning the pool is. Why does one lead to the other?
Mr. Harrington, the issue is that if someone has a lawful tenancy, they have possession and control of the property. So the landlord may not get an opportunity if they don't have a cooperative tenant to come in there, and so it becomes the necessity to evict so that they have the opportunity to go on and make the necessary.
Unless it's an emergency.
Yeah.
And that's right. Unless it's an emergency.
Then we can intervene with it directly.
Well, not. Well, she not, can intervene.
Right. We can't.
Right.
There's no additional authority other than authority of a court action for entry and remedy.
They had a fence knocked down, and they had this dirty pool. Because you heard an eviction, because the children from next door could run in there and drown.
No, sir. In this situation, the fence was repaired, so that resolved that concern as far as that high risk and imminent danger. If the imminent danger situation remains, then yeah, obviously there will be more issues.
Well, if she's supposed to be back in June, I think we could give her that courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And then find if it isn't done before she leaves.
Yes, ma'am.
So We're just asking for the next cutoff. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, 5/31/17, or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Is there a second? All right. Motion fails.
I'd just like to say something again. This has been going on since last October. When did they start this eviction process? According to this, it may not be accurate.
She got notice. Yes, I started the case in October, and it took, I think, 3 weeks to get the notice to her. And as soon as she got the notice, you know, she started the progress. She started communication. And she was communicating with people there, and it was a slow process, you know, Christmas and all that. I know that's not an excuse, but they cleaned up the yard, then they fixed the fence, but they never called for reinspection on the pool. And she was trying to look for a pool company. At the time, you know, it was after the storm also. She was having a hard time, and I gave reinspections as long as communication was there. And gave her opportunity to do that. Because I'm trying to gain some lines. I'm not trying to bring her in and get the fine. So we lost communication in February. And then we missed. February, March is when we lost communication. April, we weren't here. So I had to get it to this agenda. That's why there's a long timeline.
Okay. So what will the motion be on that?
Well, that's up to us to decide. I'd like to hear your comment. You want me to restate a motion?
It wasn't passed.
The one that didn't pass. Maybe it'll pass.
Yeah,
maybe
we can pass it now.
I believe it was the next cutoff.
Right.
May
31st. Yeah, just until the next cutoff.
Which time we will consider a fine?
Which time per day, $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. That was part of the motion. Is there such a motion? Or we did have a motion. Is there a second?
Okay.
All right. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Moving on. Wow. No, on page 3, we're not. Number 6, CEB04-17-26, Peter Wakeman and Rick Singler. Respondents present. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for an imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that he's had no contact with the respondents. There's been no changes to the property, and at least from an observation perspective, now with it being boarded up, it appears to be an abandoned property. He's requesting that a fine of $250 per day be imposed to a maximum of $10,000. And I turn to Mr. Sanders for any additional factual questions.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, May 11th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
Move.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Moving on to case number 7, CB04-17-27, FC Resi 1, LLC. Respondents present? Okay. Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of imposition of a fine and a one-time administrative fee for not having a rental license. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mrs. Sanders reports that there is no there's been no contact with this respondent as well. And no applications have been received. He's requesting a $250 per day fine imposed. To a maximum of $15,000, and that there'd be a $250 fee for the administrative fee being imposed as well.
Okay.
And again, I can't believe the things.
Okay. So this is a $15,000. So it's a duplex or non-owner occupied. Is that correct?
It is a single family business.
Single family, but non-owner occupied. That's why I can go to $15,000. Okay.
Again, all right. The issue is it homesteaded? Since you have to have a business tax for it, and it's not owner occupied.
All right. It's probably not homesteaded. No one lives there at this point. Is that correct? Does anyone live there?
I didn't see anybody yesterday. I inspected yesterday. There was nobody there.
Okay.
The roof issue is still pending?
The roof issue, they never pulled the permits for, but on my recent picture right there, you can see the work has been complete. So they fixed the roof and fixed the screen, and there was a scaffolding where that did fix it. No permits were pulled for that.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent and also impose a one-time fee of $250 effective today, May 11th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
On the, instead of bringing it up every time, does the code enforcement inspectors, do they verify on these rental properties whether it's homesteaded or not? And should that be a requirement? Say, like on a rental property that has tenants and has a license and everything, should we check to see if it has homestead exemption on it, which only applies to the owner occupies the residence?
Whether or not it's home.
If there's any additional chore to the inspector, it's really not our responsibility. However, if they want to do it, they're fine. But if we find out, we should know about it. Then we have an obligation to come and create some of that. We'll dig that out. That's about what's going to say as well, Mr. Kino, is that it's not part of their enforcement authority.
But, of course, if they have that knowledge, they can report that to the property appraiser. It's a reporting matter, so...
Because most of the time that the inspector goes in to get the information on a residence, they have to go through the tax roll.
Right.
And so it'll be stated on the tax roll whether it's homesteaded or not, or it has $25,000 exemption. And, you know, this is going up in the next few months to a higher amount. So wouldn't it be easier just to say that to see whether it's homesteaded or not? I mean, it's a...
I mean, once you're on the...
You're already
property,
on the...
Right. Site.
You're already on the tax roll.
Right.
To get the proper name and everything of the owner.
Yeah, all I can say, Mr. Weatherholt, I think the best answer is that, I mean, if they know, then they'll take the appropriate... steps when they know, when they realize that this problem is homestead.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea, but you're requiring not just that step, but you're requiring us to set up some reporting process to the county.
Yeah.
Simple phone call.
Well, that maybe these people don't think it's so simple. But
should it be addressed to, you know, I mean, to the commission of the city manager?
It may be a more effective discussion at the
right.
On our new business.
Let's discuss this further under new business, and we'll move on. All right, we are now on case number ACB0417-28, Sean Holmes and Pamela Kandil. Respondents present?
No.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for imposition of a fine plus the $250 one-time fee for no rent, no business tax receipt. I didn't say that wrong before. The inspector is Judy Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that this property, he's had no contact with the respondents. The property looks abandoned, and because of the amount of the extent of violation, he's requesting a $500 a day fine to a maximum of $10,000. I would tender Mr. Sanders for any response to any factual questions.
Okay.
I think maybe the more immediate question may be why $10,000, and it's not really based upon whether it's homestead or not. It's based upon what's our last knowledge of the use of the property prior to citing.
Okay.
And it was at that time was owner-occupied.
Right. Was owner-occupied. Okay. Wow.
Good morning. That's J. Sanders City, Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. This house here, it's a nuisance. There were homeless people staying in the house, and you can see drugs and needles and stuff. We did have the property secured.
Okay, so the property is secured.
At this time.
That's,
But it is just a total mess. You walk into the house, and you can see straight to the roof. There's nothing safe about this house. You can see holes in the floor. And it's more or less been a drug den. And that's a nice picture of it from way back, but it's, the whole yard's trashed, and people were stealing power from the other neighbors and stealing water, and again, we have it secure now where that's not happening, but it's just...
Wow. Okay.
It's bad. That's why I'm asking for the fine.
A little editorial comment there. So you're recommending $500 per day?
Yes, ma'am.
To a max of 10, did you say?
Yes, sir.
In 20 days, they'll reach their max, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Have you had any contact whatsoever with Mr. Holmes and Kandil?
One of the owners has passed away, but the wife or the lady on the
Pamela.
I tried numerous times to call her and left numerous messages at the last hearing. No contact. I left her voicemail. She wouldn't contact me back.
Okay.
At this point, I feel like she's abandoned.
So right.
That's what we're looking at. Say in 20 days they'll reach their max.
Right.
Nothing gets done.
Right.
Do we have any remedies? It would be out of our hands.
Right. Out of our hands.
Ready for that situation?
Our new program?
Well, remedy becomes, the only other remedy that the city has is, depending on the condition, it's either a circumstance where they can look and determine whether it's something that they're remedying by the demolition or at least the
condemnation
process. And then after the lien accrues for 3 months also, we have the remedy of a potential going forward with a foreclosure on on the property. So those will be the two remedies that are provided in law.
I believe the city is working on a solution to that right now.
Yeah,
that
we have a program.
Some sort of additional board being created called the Condemnation Board or something like that. Is that a secret? Or?
No, I just don't know enough about it to be the one to speak to it. But,
well, we can address that at the end of the meeting, too. But, you know, if that's all right with everybody.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just concerned that people understand that this cohort is working to try to resolve the situation.
Right.
once we put a fine on here and it goes out of our hands, we're no longer responsible for seeing that that property is no longer a nuisance. It's got to go somewhere.
Right.
So I just want everyone to understand we're doing our job here by imposing this fine, but it reaches a max and we're finished at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send a little vote of explanation.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $500 per day against the respondent effective today, May 11th, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000.
Second.
And there was a motion from, who was that, Mr. Smart, and a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Did we all... I want to amend the motion to impose a one-time administrative fee for the business tax receipt of $250,000. Their motion. Well, that's good. Some guys like that. $250,000. Okay. Do I have such a motion to amend?
So,
motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, the next two cases, 9 and 10, are in compliance. Run 11 and 12 in compliance. 13 were on CEB 0417-34 Binney Enterprises at 245 Tarragona Way. Respondent present? No. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Stanley Garcia. The violation was working on the roof without permits. The property remains in non-compliance. As you see, this has been since September 2016. The inspector's asking for a $100 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000. Attending Mr. Garcia, if you have any factual questions regarding the case.
Any questions for Mr. Garcia? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $15,000 per day against the respondent.
$100 a day.
Oh, here we go. I get my thousands confused. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent, effective today, May 11th, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
So moved. Mrs. House? Second? Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Let's move on to our new cases. Case number 15, CEB 05-17-39, Corfu LLC at 1136 Australia Avenue. Respondent present? No. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the respondents were present. They had a circumstance where they needed to leave and they spoke with the inspector. And the inspector, Danny Garcia. This is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance, and in their conversation with him, they stipulated to the non-compliance. So we're asking for you to make a finding of non-compliance and give them the next cut off to come to compliance.
Any questions?
No.
Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
moved. Motion, Mr. Smart, second?
Second.
Mr. Weatherholt, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right. Case number 16, CEB 05-17-40, Mainstay Healthcare Daytona at 252 Lake Forest Lake Boulevard. Respondent present? All right, please come forward and be sworn in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, do that.
What day was
she?
And for the OT?
Okay. We'll hear from Mr. Jackson and then we'll let you talk.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is for your position of a fine. The inspector is Danny Garcia.
No, sir. We're just doing compliance and non-compliance.
Just one moment.
Okay.
Oh. Did I say something about the decision? It's before you for the termination of compliance and non-compliance. I think that's the clarification that was necessary. as a new case. And as I said, the inspector, Danny Garcia, this is something that doesn't come before you very often, the removal of trees without permit, installed sidewalks without permit. At least the inspector's belief is that this removal of the trees without permit is an irreparable and irreversible situation. And so with that being said, it would, based on the statute, would be the potential imposition of a fine up to $15,000. If that's the type of finding you make. But in any sense, at this time, it's non-compliance compliance, and the simple compliance is, I think they'll have to explain to you. I know they're going through a process of the city to get this
okay.
Explained.
All right. Please come forward. Good morning.
Back when Hurricane Matthew came by, knocked off quite a bit of trees, so we hired a contractor from Orlando. They took a little bit more than what they were supposed to and cleaned up. So, and we knew that they'd done wrong. We kept the stumps. We didn't grind anything down so that we could be. I got a hold of Dan Garcia, and he told what happened. So I told him, let's make this right. And I've been looking for the last 2 months a local landscaping architect here in Daytona and could not find one. So I hired one out of Highland County to make this correct. He's been dealing with the city for the last 4 months. He's turned in a set of plans last month and I haven't heard back. So then I got this letter, so I got a hold of him again, what was going on. So he got a hold of a gentleman named Chuck Ricardo and
Miranda,
excuse me, and submitted a new set of drawings. So my understanding was this was approved by him for me to submit it. Well, I just submitted it Tuesday. In that case, I've already started landscaping. I got half the oaks magnolias in. The other oaks will be turned in actually planted today. So here next week we'll have all that put back together the way it was. Now as far as the sidewalk, my superintendent got carried away. I told him that I was going to submit a permit for a sidewalk, but he decided to put the sidewalk before the permit. I'm willing to remove that, no problem. The whole thing was that the landscape was going to, the engineer was turning this thing as a nature walk, per se, so we'll bring all the trees back and have a little nature walk. This is an ALF, assisted living, but if the sidewalks need to be gone, they need to be gone, no problem. But like I said, by the next week, we should have it put back together.
So the sidewalk, you're going to remove the sidewalk in order to get, would you put it back in order to get a permit?
The superintendent put the sidewalk in without...
Correct.
Okay, so they didn't give me my sidewalk permit because of the trees.
Okay.
But this whole... So I also put in for a monument permit, and they were not giving me because of this whole tree. So
right.
I need to get this corrected first. So,
okay.
Like I said, we're about halfway done with this, and now going back to the sidewalk permit, if it's not approved, we will remove what's there.
Does the sidewalk meet the city codes?
As far as width, and if, yes, but the location. That's we quote to the...
That's what the violation is.
Yes. So we have no problem removing it. The landscape engineer wanted to sell it as a little nature walk for the residents as they walk into it. Yeah, so we haven't touched it or removed it yet, so we heard from the city.
And the residents do use it as
a nature walk. Mr. Garcia.
So what Mr. Garcia informed me of is that the sidewalk issue, the city is just not really addressed that until they address the trees.
Okay.
So the trees and then the sidewalk. So it's not that the city is demanding that they be removed or anything at this point. At this point, they have, and I think I said it wrong before, non-compliance next cutoff. The city believes that by next cutoff that they should have the tree situation remedied, and then they can make the proper applications for a sidewalk and if they have to make move, altered in any way or whatever they have to do, then that's when they need to determine what they have to do.
So we're not taking any particular action then?
Yeah, well, find them in non-compliance.
And we're asking for next cutoff when it comes to compliance. So our hope is they can get it all done by next cutoff, but we won't know that until they get it done.
I don't think this, as long as the sidewalk meets the city's code, I haven't seen it, but I would like to know how serious does that affect the whole project there? Is that just because they moved it 10 feet away, or?
Well, it could be very easily be in the
right away.
Well, in fact, it's in a conservation area, and so it requires.
Okay.
That's what I
want. Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance in order for respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Up to 50, how much? 15,000 per day?
Yeah, environmental.
Okay. $15,000 per day. Is there such a motion? No, not having. Mr. Jones, second?
I'll second.
Mr. Weatherholt, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, let's move on to case number 17, CED 0517-41, Michael Malik at 1208 Sunland. Is the respondent present? Please come forward. Good morning. You be sworn in?
Michael Malik, 1208 Sunland Road. Yes, I do.
Okay, well, we'll hear from code and then we'll let you speak. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. Inspector Sandy Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports he's had no contact with the respondent. He's requesting that the respondent be in compliance, that you make a finding of non-compliance and the respondent being compliant by next call. Tender, Mr. Garcia, if you have any questions.
Okay. All right. Mr. Malik, what would you like to tell us?
My home was damaged in the hurricane. At the time, I was unemployed and did not have insurance. I started working about a month ago. I've saved us enough money now. The trees can be removed probably by next week. The repairs on the roof, I might need a little more time to save up some money for that. Like I say, that's the best I can
do. Do you live there?
Yes, I do.
Is the roof leaking?
No. It's just, as you can see, the pictures, the pole that holds the electrical came down. There's also a support beam in the front of the porch. That's it must have been cracked inside or rusty because pieces came off. And the four trees in the back, I really can't do anything myself with them. One of them is almost, if I took it down wrong, it would come into the neighbor's yard. So I need a professional.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Garcia, anything you want to add?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Neighborhood Services Inspector Garcia, credentials on file. Basically, this is a HOA complaint, and it's in ongoing complaint that I'm still receiving, just stating about the tree in the back that needs to be removed. The neighbor has cut back as much as he can that went over on his property. And the only other issue besides that is, like it's shown, the roof that needs to be repaired and the electrical power pole that's actually bent over because it doesn't have anything to support it.
Pardon me, it's there. I mean, that could be a hazard.
Exactly.
You know, at best, I'm surprised Park up ahead and said something.
And what? So, would you confirm, what did the power company say?
I didn't speak to them. My wife actually did. She said that they said that the power was fine. There was no interruption in service. There was. It's just the actual pole was bent from the wind. So it's still up. It's just, as you see.
It's hard for me to tell. I mean,
it's a steel pipe that the wire comes out of. And it's still, everything is still intact. Nothing is broken. It just is severely bent.
The way that it is, the power mist goes down through the roof, and that's to the mains power supply to the panel. I'm surprised it didn't dislocate some of the wires, but I mean, that's, if the power company thought it was a hazard, they would cut the power off.
I guess I'm confused. It would seem,
I guess it doesn't matter what I think.
What I'm confused about is that the power company doesn't see that as their property and want to fix it.
It's not their property. It's homeowners.
The pole is not their property?
The pole on top of the house is what he's talking about. The power mist going into the house. That's on private property. That's not the power company's responsibility. That's the homeowner's.
Okay.
I assume it would be fixed. The roof is fixed. That roof would be fixed. Is that right?
No,
electrician.
Electrician is what I was told.
Yeah, it has to be.
You have to do that before the roof needs to be.
Because the tires would have to be cut off in order to repair that.
When do you think you'll be able to put the roof on?
Okay.
Do you have any timetable on?
Okay.
This could be $1,000. I have no savings. Okay. I spent everything. When I was unemployed, my wife's disabled, doesn't work. Honestly, as far as the roof getting fixed, I haven't even got an estimate on that. I'm trying to take care of the trees first to keep my neighbor happy.
Square footage of your home?
1,200 foot.
What is your recommendation again, Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chairman, members of the board, Inspector, I was just discussing that as we're getting more clarity and details of what all has to be done here. We had initially said next cutoff, but we believe at a minimum we probably should be requesting 60 days for the compliance, and the inspector's asking that he pull permits within the next 15 days.
15?
Yes.
Okay.
And return to the next meeting for a progress report.
When you say pull permits, you mean apply for permits?
The inspector believes he can obtain those permits within the next 15 days.
Okay.
Yes.
Permits to do the trees or
permission? I think it's the roof only, and that's the only thing he needs permits for.
And he'll need electrical also. Roof, a building permit for the roof, and electrical be for the pole. You can at least have it applied for, so at least we could see something going forward. You know, because once it's under review, I don't know how long they're going to take to review that.
Yeah, that's why you need to apply.
I understand this, but I think in situations like this, where the homeowner is financially difficult.
Will you speak into your mic, Mr. Jones? Thank you.
Where the homeowner has some difficulty in paying for it, and he hasn't been ignoring us, as many, many people do, we ought to do the best we can to help them.
just my comment.
Any other comments? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by would be the July 5th cutoff date or be returned for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day and further orders a progress report for the next meeting, which is June 8th, 2017, and also orders that application be made for a building and electric permits within the next 15 days. There's such a motion?
Do you really think it's realistic that he's going to have this roof repaired in 60 days, according to the reality of this? Why? I think the permit should be applied for immediately, yes. But whether it's going to happen in 60 days, after the progress report and change that, I suppose.
We can amend.
Once the permit is issued,
right.
We can amend.
We can amend after that. So,
all right.
Is there such a motion?
Uh-huh.
So, Mr. Smart made a motion.
Second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed, motion carries. So just keep in touch with your code inspector. All right, let's move on to case number 18-CEV05-17-42, Florida Coast Petroleum at 848 North Beach Street. Respondent present. No, right? Mr. Jackson and Mr. Fitzgerald.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this comes before you for determination of compliance and non-compliance. And the inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that the property remains in non-compliance. He did have contact from the, up until yesterday, he had no contact from the owner, but he did have contact with an owner representative on yesterday. And he expressed to him the need to have this property on a trespass arrest site and for it to be secured. So we're asking that there be a finding of non-compliance, that there be orders to secure property within the next 10 days, and that there be given some extra, next cutoff to come into compliance.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is 5/31/2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day, and further orders the respondent to secure the building within 10 days.
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, next case, number 19. CEV05-17-43. Cynthia Fratantuono and Dominic Marangioni. Okay, no, mouthful. I didn't quite get that right, I'm sure. Are they present? No. Yes? Good, you can tell me how to you can tell me how to pronounce your name.
Dominic Marangioni.
Marangioni, okay.
And
Cynthia Fratantuono, five syllables. Okay, five syllables. Okay, great. Please be sworn in. Good morning.
I'm
sorry, can you
tell me
swear or
affirm
that the
testimony about the provided the truth of the whole truth and nothing up here? Okay. Can you state your name for the record? Dominic Marangioni. Okay. All right, we'll hear from Mr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll give you a chance to talk.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. This property is before you for determination of compliance and non-compliance. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that the property wasn't non-compliance at the time he was cited. He is currently in compliance and he's asking for such a finding.
Okay, you're asking for what?
He was in non-compliance at the time of the, he was cited. He is currently in compliance. We're asking for the non-compliance compliance time.
Okay. All right. What would you like to tell us?
Just to say it is in compliance now, like you said, both removed. The only thing I was concerned about was my address is 755 South Ridgewood Avenue, which is faces US 1.
Mm-hmm.
The back of my yard, the house was built in 1918, and the driveway is put, it is the back of the yard. If my address is US 1, just the house that's catty-corner to US 1, a major roadway, it's probably the only house in the world that does that, but when the house was built, that is the only spot where you could put a boat or a vehicle in the yard. So that's why the boat was there. I didn't have any other spot to put the boat, but now I was able to.
So I would really recommend it to KP Smith.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
All right. Okay.
I haven't heard that in law school. You get what you pay for to make things worse.
Okay.
Which is what if you have an issue to
yeah, you already, you're in compliance. So, all right.
Let's have rooted.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance, and for any future violation, be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence and case be dismissed. Accept the motion. Mr. Jones, motion. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case dismissed. Okay. All right. Case number 20-05-17-44. Mr. Elgali Elikrum. Present? Good? All right. We'll hear. Please come forward and be sworn in if you're going to testify. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Joe Hopkins. I'm here to represent the property owner.
Go ahead and state your name for the record, please.
Okay, we'll hear from Mr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll give you a chance to respond.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before termination of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that this property is remains in non-compliance. This is where the porch was installed, and they sought permits, and they have and permits for paving the parking lot. And I think it's a parking lot issue that hasn't been resolved up to this point. But nevertheless, the property remains in non-compliance, and Mr. Fitzgerald is asking that they be given until next cut off to come into compliance. I'm sure Mr. Fitzgerald, along with Mr. Hopkins, could explain a lot better what status they're in. So
okay.
I will attend to Mr. Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Michael Fitzgerald, City Attorney, Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city. When I went out there, they had the heavy equipment there, as you saw, and they were dropping the asphalt down and using the rollers to put in the parking lot. So I put a stop work order on the property, along with the they built this porch out front on International without a permit. That's the situation.
Is that in the CRA?
That is in the CRA.
Were they consulted before any of this?
No.
Besides the lack of permit, were they consulted?
No, that's usually how it works. They'll get a permit, then it'll be automatically consulted.
Okay.
So we had no one from CRA to represent that today.
Okay. No, that's right.
We might next time. Okay. All right, what would you like to tell us? Doesn't matter who. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Again, my name is Joe Hopkins. I'm a civil engineer with the Performance Group at 100 Marina Point Drive here in Daytona. Mr. Elkham asked me to look into this property and the violations that have been cited. We recognize that the deck that was constructed in front was not permitted, and if we cannot permit it, we'll have it removed. With regard to the paving, the contractor who installed the paving was not authorized, not a local contractor, didn't have any licensing. But the parking lot was a repave job. The property owner has hired a local contractor to secure an after-the-fact permit. That was submitted to the city in February. It's under review right now. The redevelopment department had some comments about it. They're asking whether or not it needs a site plan approval. So we're kind of navigating whether or not this needs a site plan. If it does, then we'll secure that. If not, then it would be an after-the-fact permit. I have not talked to Reed Berger. He's the one who made those comments. I'm going to look into it, and if we are not in compliance by the next deadline, I'll be here to give you an update on where we stand. But with regard to the patio, again, if we can't permit it, we'll remove it. With regard to the parking, if it needs a site plan, we'll secure one. Otherwise, we'll get an after-the-fact permit.
Were you the consultant before they started this work?
No. No. Okay. I wish I could be the consultant before they start the work.
I can't believe anybody that experienced as you are would recommend doing things.
No. I just, I'm debating whether or not it needs a site plan or not, and that's what kind of got me in on the case. But we want to work with the city. We don't have a life, safety, and health and welfare issue here. It's just a permitting process that we need to go through. So, again, application is on file with the city to permit the parking lot. The deck is something that we need to look into.
Okay. All right. Chair will entertain a motion. Any other comments? We'll entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance in order to respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date of May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Smart made the motion. Mr. Weatherholt the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
You just step back in. You're not voting on that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll move on to case number 21, CEB 05 dash.
Excuse me.
Okay, that's okay. Case number CEB 05 dash 17 dash 45, Sylvester and Garrett Covington. Respondents present? All right. Mr. Jackson and Mr. McCoy.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance and noncompliance. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that he hasn't had any contact from Mr. or Mrs. Covington. He notes that the property remains in noncompliance and asks that you make that finding and give them until the next cutoff to come to compliance. And I'll turn to Mr. McCoy.
Okay. I'm still looking at the pictures.
Question, the same question I had, is this in the CRA?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jerome McCoy, Neighborhood Service, Inspector Peninsula on file.
So is this in the CRA? A CRA?
Yes.
Okay. The answer is yes. Okay.
Is it? Would it be desirable to let the CRA people know when you have these cases?
We've been fortunate to have Mr. Bryant, who is present in all of the meetings, and I'm sure if he had some input, he would come forward.
Maybe we can discuss this at the end of the meeting as well. Okay. So we can just move along through these cases because that's a good question. So, all right, since no one's here to defend themselves, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and/or respondent miscompliant by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Mr. Smart made the motion. Mr. Jones the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Well, they're just in non-compliance. That's all. We're not. Okay. Case number 22, CEB05-17-46, Louis Miguel Rivera. Respondent present. Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Actually, my name is Phyllis Henderson. I'm representing my nephew, Luis Miguel Rivera. I live at 819 Dr. Mary McLeod Mathoon. My nephew lives in Ridgecrest, California. And so, therefore, this all came about when my...
Let's get sworn in, and then we'll hear from the inspector and the attorney.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, Mr.
McCoy. Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that the property remains in non-compliance and asks that you give the respondent until next cutoff to come to compliance.
Okay.
I tend to require any factual questions regarding the violation.
Wrong story.
Good morning. Is anyone living there?
Yes, it is tenants, and there's maybe three or four tenants. And
so it's a multifamily property?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. McCoy or Mr. Jackson right now?
Has the infestation been addressed?
There's really nothing that I can see that's been done to the property. As far as exterminators being called in, I haven't really been in contact with the owner on giving me information on whether the infestation has been taken care of. Along with any other structural issues that's going on with it, they still exist.
Okay. Do you feel this is a health issue for the residents that are living here, or a safety issue?
That's a quite a possibility. With the infestation, I don't really know the extent of it. I just know the evidence that I've seen when I was actually able to go into one of the apartments. And as far as going in the second time, I haven't been able to go inside the place. So I don't know whether it's progressing or being reduced.
Okay. For the time being, all right. Ms. Henderson, what would you like to tell us?
Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. McCoy. What is the infestation?
Just wait a second. Oh. You just tell us what you'd like to tell us right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
First of all, this is a family matter. But my sister is Betty Henderson. She's owned the property. The property is over 70 years old. My sister has stage 4 cancer, and I've been there taking care of her.
At this property?
No, my sister has stage 4 cancer in California. She maintains the property from California, and my nephew, which is her son,
mm-hmm.
at that time thought she was dying and put his name on the property.
Okay.
Not understanding what he was doing, not understanding of the laws or anything. That's one of the reasons Mr. McCoy did not contact him. I then was informed, came back here at the end of last month
mm-hmm.
to find out what was going on. The property has been here forever. We've always taken care of it. My nephew got the mail, just said it aside until his mother was dying. And that's one of the reasons Mr. McCoy did not contact him. Then my daughter came, and she's been at the family home on Second Avenue. There's a lot going on. Now I've found out of what's going on. Because we have not been able to get things expedited, I put the property on the market. The property is on the market. We have three different bids. has informed them, the buyers, of what's going on. Did not understand an infestation problem because I've been down there for 3 days. So I don't know what the infestation problem is. I do comply with all the other roofs and all that to be taken care of. The buyers have walked it. They understand what's going on because it's a very old building. But I really would like to know before I let people buy this of the infestation that Mr. McCoy is there.
Well, you will be able to get with Mr. McCoy either right after we determine whether this is just here for compliance or non-compliance, and you'll be able to get with him and determine what needs to be done.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Are there any?
We have 3 buyers at the moment, and we're trying to expedite this as soon as possible and let them know the violations. They've all understand it. So just waiting for final statement.
Any questions or comments? All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion, Mr. Smart, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
I appreciate it.
Okay, so you get with Mr. Jones and he'll, Mr. McCoy, and he will tell you what needs to be done. All right, case number 24. CEB05-17-48 Daytona Ocean Rentals, 617 Braddock. Number 2. The owner, is the respondent present? Okay, please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and be sworn in. Good morning.
Elden York. I do.
Okay, we will hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Stenson first, and then we'll hear from you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is John Stenson. Mr. Stenson reports that nothing's changed from his original notice of violation. This may be familiar to you. This, the parcel is a parcel where we've had other properties that we've already made findings of non-compliance. It's an additional structure on that parcel, 617. And this property, this structure is in non-compliance, and we're asking for next cutoff for them to come into compliance. I do know and see that familiar neighbors who wanted to be heard in the past, and I would presume maybe they want to be heard today.
Opportunity. All right. I have a question. Is this just work? Talking about a building number 2, is that what that is? Building number 2 or apartment number 2? That doesn't really matter that much, but just want to be clear.
Morning. John Spencer, Code Inspector of the City and Property is on file. This is the rear building.
Okay, there's so it's building number 2. Okay.
Correct. There's 2 buildings on this particular site.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Mr. Stenson or Mr. Jackson?
Yes.
Well, wait, we're going to give you an opportunity to speak. Okay. All right. Please come forward, sir, and you can speak.
Well, I just wanted to know, Mr. Stenson, specifically what it was he was calling out.
Well, I think that you can get with him about all those and what needs to be done to bring you into compliance.
The biggest thing was the water, and that has been turned on.
That's not even on here.
No. Yes, it is. The property cannot be occupied without running water.
As far as what we're considering for building number two. I don't see that even on here. It may have been on another one.
What is the date of that letter?
What's the date of that letter?
Oh, I don't have a copy of this.
That was 6 prior to the meeting.
Was, yes, it was 6 prior, so, okay. We're looking at the other things that are on this case that's brought before us.
Can I get a copy of that? Is it here?
There's one right here.
Case number, look, you can look up, case, it's case number 24.
Outside storage has been corrected. Windows haven't been corrected yet, but we were told not to do any work on the building until water was turned on. Mission screens, same situation, except the ones that were replaced earlier were damaged again by people breaking in. On interior services, that's a result of the a water leak from the hurricane. We haven't been allowed to break the roof
yet, or patching over the parcel. So we've got a manager got verbal permission to do it, but we've spoken out and we're actually told that prior to the patch
or put it tarp. So other than that, it's very little wrong with the building.
Excuse me, the police arrest somebody for putting tarps on?
Yes.
Are they legitimate roofing companies? Do they have a license? Are they insured? Are they legitimate?
No, we're just trying to stop the water from coming in.
Then they have no right to be on your roof.
I think you do.
Well,
keep the water from coming in and damaging the rest of the building.
Are there regular roofers available who need to contact?
There are. There's 12 to 15 weeks.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I have a question.
All right. Go ahead.
How many residents are residing in your building?
In building number two.
In number two.
We have one apartment that's actually functional. The other two have one room in each one that has sustained damage. What we've done is close that room off, and that has to be repaired under with a contractor. But there's no point in repairing it until we can stop the water from coming in.
I don't think you answered my question. How many people are living there in that building at the present time?
There are about 4 or 5 people living there. We use most of them are just storing their stuff so that until we get their apartment operational again. And one of the apartments that are made available for them to use the facilities at the consent of that tenant.
And how come you just didn't pull the permit?
Well, I just got control of the building the end of January. Prior to then, I was kicked off site for a couple of different reasons.
Are you the owner of the property?
I have an interest in the property, yes.
So you are part owner of the property?
Correct. I had squatters in there in my apartment, and I had it.
Are you living there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You're living in building two?
No, building one.
You're living in building one.
Madam Chair, have we clarified his role with the Daytona Ocean Rentals LLC?
Yes, please, I'd like to do that.
Yes, I'm an authorized representative for the company.
And you are the owner of the LLC?
I'm part owner, but not the owner.
One of the managers?
I'm the registered agent.
This agent, not an owner.
Right.
Are you? You all. I would say this participant, not an owner.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Resident agent is not the owner.
That's true, but attending.
The owner and the resident agent.
I'm not the owner. I have interest in the company.
Okay, I have interest in the project.
Yes. I have a lot of my money in that. That's
no, that's
question.
More, we're not asking that.
Yeah.
Well, I have a... Go ahead.
I'd like to hear from Mr. Stenson exactly when he opened, called to the property, what the violations were, and if has anything been done so we can sort of rule on the purpose.
Good morning. Let me see if I can bring a little clarity to this. There's two buildings on the property.
Right.
Three different addresses, 613, 615, 617, right. The front building is 613 and 615. This particular case that we're talking about today is the rear building, which started as a tenant complaint in unit number 4. This is on the second floor on the backhand side of the building. That's where you see most of these pictures that are pertaining to with the broken windows and missing screens, interior surfaces that are damaged from the evident roof leak. The roof was damaged during the hurricane. The reason why he could not do anything to the roof because a stop work order was issued because of the roof being repaired without the proper permit. But that's another case. In this particular case, is just dealing with the actual conditions of that particular unit and the second building in general. As of yesterday, there had not been significant progress.
Is there any work that's been done that had nothing to do with the leaking?
Yes. All of the outside storage could have been removed. Paint could have been done. There's a lot of superficial things that could have been done in the building that haven't been done or haven't been getting done. And like in these cases, this property has been a code issue now for some time.
All right. Mr. Stenson, do we need a permit to put a tarp on a roof?
No, ma'am.
All right.
Madam Chair, I just would like to clarify one thing on for the record. I mean, I'm looking at a printout from the Division of Corporations site concerning the LLC.
Mm-hmm.
It does list Mr. York as a registered agent. Also lists Mr. York as the title authorized
mm-hmm.
member.
Okay.
So just so that the manager of the LLC is Kim Taylor. So I guess it would probably still be right inquiry to ask Mr. York if he's authorized to speak on behalf
mm-hmm.
of the LLC.
Okay.
And get some clarification on notification address where we should be sending notifications.
Okay. All right. Would you please come forward again and we can ask you those questions. Are you authorized to speak on behalf of Daytona Ocean Rentals?
I am, but I cannot answer authorized on every single issue. If a new issue comes up, I have to talk to my partner.
But on these issues, before you and me, are you authorized to speak on them?
Yes.
Okay. The other question is, let's see. Where would we send, what is the address, the correct address to send notification?
Right now it can be 613 Braddock Avenue, where I live.
Is that the address of Daytona Ocean Rentals or your personal address?
My personal address as the registered agent. That.
Wouldn't it be better to send it to Daytona Ocean Rentals at a business address rather than to your personal?
Unit 4, 617 Braddock Avenue, Unit 4, is the office.
Oh, that's the office.
So proper notification has been sent to the proper address. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're pretty clear on that.
Yes, ma'am. So we just want to make sure we're clear on the record
correct.
On where we need to send so we
correct.
Can make sure we're sending it.
Correct. So that is the proper address. That's where things have been.
So it's representation, we'll send it where he's requested.
Well, I guess we need to bite the bullet in this fight of compliance.
Not compliance and non-compliance. Would you like to speak? Come on up.
I just want to give you
just state your name and address.
Mike Mandeville, 611 Braddock Avenue.
Can you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Where
are firms that have money left? Yes, I do. Okay. Give you a little heads up. Most of what he said is just a lie. We can go back to, first of all, what he just told you about the addresses. He, up till a few days ago, he was living in 617. Now he's in 618. He's moving around in those apartments. The office he's talking about is in back of the laundry room, part of the garage, which he has drug addicts living in. He also has drug addicts living in the garage. Hookers live in there. It's just not, you know, the problem. It's been a nonstop problem altogether. They've been putting a tarp on, supposedly, now for about 3 months. Before he said he came back and got back ownership or in control of the property, they already had a tarp up. I've had officers out there twice now since the stop work order on body cam with people up on some of these attics that he's got living there, up on the roof with hammers. You know, they're tearing out wood, they're tearing off the roofing, they're putting roofing on. No licensed contractor. You can tell them over and over and over. Code inspectors tell them. I've told them. We tried to work them in the way in the beginning, telling them what to do. He does everything that he's not supposed to do, everything wrong. He takes the drug addict's word over the neighbor's word. He's just a menace to the neighbors.
Sir,
okay. All right.
If you tone down this description of tenants, because... something to be proven.
I'll give you the mission of the property.
I understand. All right. The main thing is still doing work, even after curfew, after 10 o'clock at night, banging away with hammers. I get the police there. They got, you know, their body cameras on and stuff. They tell them they're not allowed to work. And anytime an inspector or officer comes out there and tells him anything, it's basically like he could just actually say to him, or what? What are you going to do about it? Because as soon as they leave, they go right back to it. They have no regard for any authority at all. And I wish that you could just say non-compliant, go right into fines right now.
Well, we have to wait our prescribed amount of time, but...
I do have one other question.
Okay.
On your code enforcement tree, at the bottom it says lien, foreclosed lien. I've been the runaround so far telling me who can answer the question of who decides that. People are saying that you guys decide.
No, we do not.
I would like to know the name of a person that is, because we're dealing with the city commission right now and the city manager. We have a community organization right now, and we are pushing this to the limit. We are going after this house and all the other houses. So I need to know. You keep getting fingers crossed.
Well, no, it is not the code board that forecloses on a lien.
Okay.
We don't have the authority to do that. We can impose a lien, but we can't foreclose. Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'll be happy to clarify that.
Okay.
It's the code board's authority to authorize foreclosure on a lien pursuant to statute. The commissioner a long time ago has delegated and given you, has taken your continued authority. Which has been granted for foreclosure on liens that have reached their that are qualified for foreclosure after the 3 months after the lien has been imposed, which is what the statute provides. There are right now a number of processes that are being looked at in terms of what we're doing in terms of foreclosure and other things through the commission and the overall process. Properties are being reviewed for foreclosure. Foreclosures, to best my knowledge, are being initiated. Whether or not it's this property, it's not something that I'm handling. But ultimately, the agency is going to be the decider. So that would be the manager or the city commission. But it's an action that's been taken as a legal action. It's going to be an action that's taken by the legal department. So I know that there are properties being reviewed. There is intent to. Move forward with foreclosures as I think there may have been either.
All right, let me understand this. So are you saying that the board has, our board, Code Enforcement Board, has the authority to not only impose a lien, But to go forward and ask that the lien be collected,
if the statute states that after 90 days,
yes,
the property be foreclosed, we have the ability to recommend to the city commission that be done.
Right.
We don't have the authority. We don't have a budget.
Right. So we don't have the authority
but it's part of
the motion and part of establishing a lien. That the lien process, that we are granting the authority after a certain number of days or whatever, 90 days, to take care of foreclosing on the lien.
There could be a mortgage on the property.
There could be a lien
on the property.
Right.
And we don't have a budget.
It's a secondary lien, no matter what. Right.
In all due respect, I don't want to hear about a budget.
What I'm trying to say is that we could do it, and I've actually done foreclosures in the past. I've done them, but there are some, we have a little bit, like for example, let's say it's a homestead piece of property, we can't touch it.
Okay.
If it has a big mortgage on it, but there are some properties. We had, I had a situation in Weber Beach, we had a piece of property, a block from the beach, that had no mortgage on it, it was a homestead. We foreclosed on the property and it was $250,000.
Right.
So it can happen.
Right.
And I'm going to suggest, that we need to put that on our list. So you can tell us what the process is on.
Because you're right.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But the problem is we just can't say do it because we...
Right.
That's like, right. I understand.
Everybody saying do something gets done. As you know, you get frustrated with government. I appreciate that.
I do have a couple more questions. And the Land Development Code, Section 10.2, I wish code enforcement would read it. So they, I've been searching all through this. There are many other remedies that you can do for safety violations. You actually have the power to go in and board up the building and lock the building. There's sewer, sewage leaking in the back from the plumbing pipes. There's exposed electrical and the smoke detector. There are many reasons. There's a bunch of remedies the city has to deal with this property. We just have to look at them and actually go full force and do them without having to drag it out. There are remedies. The only other thing I wanted to say was about the water. I don't know whether it was oversight or mistake or whatever, but it was turned on in somebody else's name, which he still calls the manager of the property now, a tenant, turned on the water for the whole building, 5 units. I don't think that's legally allowed where a tenant can control water for other tenants. Like if it was a 100-unit building on the beach, I couldn't go turn on the water if I lived there and control the water for everybody else. It just doesn't make sense. It's not common sense. And also, his bill, I believe, was over $2,000. They took the water meter out. They came back and put it on, and the new guy that put it in his name only paid like $400 to have that happen. That's a disgrace. That is, I don't know, there's an oversight. Somebody screwed up in the water department. I'm going to go there next, and I'm going to talk to whoever's in charge over there. Because this stuff shouldn't be happening. The agencies need to work together and communicate, and they need to know their own laws. I shouldn't have to get online and just read all of Daytona Beach's codes and the state codes and all this stuff and be able to tell people what to do. I mean, call my sheriff's office and have them put the stop work order. The stop work order should have been put on months and months ago. You know what I mean? And now I find out if he works with a stop work order, he could be arrested for a second-degree misdemeanor for allowing people to work without a stop work order. The people that are doing the work can be fined, civil fines. So the next time I see anybody working over there, I'm going to demand that he gets arrested.
Okay.
So,
Thank you.
I'm not trying to get
that. That's all right. That's okay.
Another question.
Go ahead. I want to call the question. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance in order to... Nope, not now. The chair will entertain, I've shut down comment right now. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff day to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there... Can I just take this back for a second? I just need to ask one more question. I'm sorry. I'm going to rescind my motion for the time being. Is this, in Code's opinion, does this building need to be secured? Is this a threat to health and welfare?
No, the building is occupied. It doesn't need to be secured.
Well, not secure, but does it need to be shut down?
That's not a determination that this inspector can make. That's made by the chief building official. And that's something.
Do you make that recommendation to him? As code?
We all have made similar recommendations. That the board can make those recommendations, but as far as the determination of the,
right,
the code inspector,
okay,
he can tell them of the conditions and the,
okay,
circumstances, but ultimately they will go out, review, and make those determinations of whether or not the building would meet the criteria for condemnation.
Okay.
That can be an issue that we talk to after.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. So I'll go back and to my original motion. We'll entertain a motion. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to, which is May 31st. No, thank you. Be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Mr. Harrington, motion. Second. Mr. Weatherholtz, all in favor, say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Could we possibly consider a 5-minute break? We're only.
I just my head.
Yeah, I mean. All right. Okay. All right. We'll take a 5-minute break now, and at 11:01 we'll be back.
I didn't take a break at the wrong time.
That's right. It doesn't matter. I mean, as long as we have. All these people probably great. I am going to reconvene the meeting at 11:20. We'll go to case number CEB 0517-49, Joyce Ingram, Revocable Living Trust, and the trustees. Are they here? Okay. Please come up and state your name and address for the record and your relationship to the owners.
George Ingram, Jr.
Okay.
One of the trustees on this revocable
okay.
trust, 29 off Park Circle, Palm Coast Park.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Mr. Stenson and Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Now, Chair Member to the Board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. This is regarding prohibited signs that have been placed in numerous areas by the the tenant of the respondent who is present today. And the property remains in noncompliance. The inspector is requesting that it be in compliance by next cutoff.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, the inspector is Mrs. Stenson.
Okay. Mr. Ingram, would you like to come forward? Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yes. This is a big surprise to me because we didn't put any signs up at all. We are the owners of the building. I am, what you might say, I'm the manager of it, of the building itself. So one tenant is a tax man, has put these signs all around the city. And they sent letters to me, I guess right along with him, the tenant. Now, I talked with the tenant on the telephone about this for about three months now. And he said that he was going to take them down. And I called Mr. Stenson, talked with him about it. But I don't know where the signs are. I know I have driven around the city, driven around from Charles Street all the way over to Nova Road to White Street, and just around in the city, but I didn't see any signs. Now, Mr. Stenson said that he and his crew have picked up a lot of signs. Now, so whether or not I'm in compliance, I don't know whether or not how that goes to say that I'm in compliance or not, but I understand that he's a tenant of.
So the man, the person or the company that's putting around the signs are your tenants in your building?
Yes.
Okay.
We had a similar case like this. You need to get serious with your tenant about getting rid of those signs, okay, because in the previous case, we fined the owner rather seriously. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, like I say, it's a tax study. Now, he's there December, January, February, March, April. I haven't seen him for about a couple of months. I guess it was about 1st of April, somewhere in there. I've talked to him on the telephone once since I've had this letter, and I've texted him just about every week, and he said that he was going to be here. Now, he's not here. I can show you on the telephone, whereas I have texted him this morning. I texted him the first of the week. I've done what I could do. So.
All right, thank you. Mr. Stenson, are the signs still there?
Good morning, Jim. John Stenson, code inspector with the city. So the code enforcement department has probably removed, without exaggeration, 150 of these signs throughout the city. There are still a few of them still out there. We have them on Dunn and Mason. The majority of the concentration was on ISB, down by the old Kmart. The entire city was just inundated with those signs. Not so much the beach side, but the west side is definitely covered. I would say there's probably less than 20 out there now, but almost every day the code enforcement is still picking them up.
Are there any on this gentleman's property right now?
No, ma'am.
Is he responsible for the signs that are on other people's property, yes?
Well, all the signs that you've collected have always, they all have been on city right-of-ways, posted on city signs, traffic lights. So, I mean, they haven't been putting the signs on private property, like residents or anything, but it's all been on city property.
But ultimately, Mr. Ingram is responsible.
Yes, ma'am.
As well as the people that are putting them up.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
As far as the business tax receipts, and
Mr. Ingram has his business tax receipt for his tenants. Okay. Now, the actual tenant himself does not have the business tax receipt.
Have that one also?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I can say is you've got to get a hold of your tenant. Tell him he either gets this straightened out or he's going to have to leave, or you're going to get stuck with potential fines.
All right. Yeah, you get with Mr. Stenson and find out what you have to do to correct the situation. So the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 a day. All right. Is there such a motion?
Absolutely.
Sorry. Okay. Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay. Motion carries.
May 31st.
May 31st. May 31st. All right, moving on, case number 26, CEB05-17-50, Bondison Hardy. Neeson, I can't recognize you now because we're in the middle of another case. Yeah, you can speak to a code enforcement officer. Respondents, first, there you are. You've been very patient. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Kevin Pearson, 950 North Tomoka Farms Road, Daytona Beach.
I do.
Okay. Mr. Stenson and Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance and non-compliance. I personally spoke with Mr. Garrison, this Garrison, that's right, I'm going to call you first name, Kendall. And the inspectors informed me that he's now in compliance, and what we're asking for is a finding of compliance, non-compliance, and I think they now understand what the city
means. Good. Okay, perfect. Okay, so you're in compliance, that's good. Just, you know, if it doesn't happen again, you're all good. The case is dismissed, right? Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance and currently in compliance, and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence, and the case be dismissed. Is there such a motion?
All right.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second, Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay, case number 27, CEB 05-17-51, Jackson Family Trust at 1618 3rd Street. Respondent present. All right. Mr. Sanders and Mr. Jackson.
First clarification is
yeah.
Not Sanders. This is before you for a determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that he's had no contact with the respondent, with anyone at all, and that the property remains in non-compliance, and he's asking that the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
All right. Is this a multifamily or a single family?
Just for
Jerry Sanders,
City of Daytona Beach Neighborhood Services. It's a single family dwelling.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Unoccupied or occupied?
It's occupied at this time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay.
I mean that we find them in non-compliance.
Oh, yeah. All right. Motion has been made to find respondent by Mr. Harris, find respondent non-compliance, in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date of May 31st, or be returned to the board for consideration or fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second, Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 28, CEB 0517-52. George Smalls and Vincent Smalls. Anyone present? Come forward, please. Sorry it's taking so long. We had a huge agenda today.
Good morning.
Good morning. State your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
My name is George Smalls, Jr. I'm here to represent myself and my brother, Vincent Smalls.
Okay. We'll hear. I'm sorry.
You
can
only swear or affirm that the testimony
you have
provided
is
your double truth and nothing
but the truth.
Yes, I do.
All right. We'll hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Sanders first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you put determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that he hadn't had any contact from Mr. Smalls, but the property remains to non-compliance, and he's asking that he bring it into compliance by next cutoff. And I turn to Mr. Sanders for any factual questions.
The property occupied?
The property is not occupied at this time, last inspection.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Sanders? All right. Mr. Smalls, what would you like to tell us?
Okay, thank you all. My mom, she owns the property, and it has went down, and I just recently found out that has been a violation. I'm trying to do everything to come with compliance. Find out what I have to do.
Okay, I have a question. You said your mother owns the property.
Yeah,
I don't see her name on here.
Yeah, it's in my brother and it's in my brother and my name.
So you own the property?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
All right.
So
okay.
I'm trying to find out whatever I can do to come to compliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
was this rented before?
Yes, it was rented, yes.
Okay,
sure.
But it's no longer.
There's nobody there.
Nobody there.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and you're going to work on it?
Yes, I am. Sure.
Okay.
Appreciate
so you get with Mr. Sanders and find out what you need to do.
Okay.
Okay.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and or respondent committed to compliance by the next cutoff date, 5/31/17, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay, thank motion, you. Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right, case number 29, other properties, CEB 05-17-53, 337 North Clyde Mars. Respondent present. Please come up, sir. It's taken so long. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Ronald Jack Travis Utter, 5952 Raleigh Borrows Court, Port Orange, Florida, 32127.
Yes. Okay, we will hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Sanders first, and then we'll give you an opportunity to speak, Mr. Utter.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector, Stuart Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that this violation is complaint-driven. He says that his report from the owner said they're working on compliance. I attend to Mr. Sanders for any questions you have, but Mr. Sanders is asking that you find him and not find the respondent in noncompliance and give him until next call to come into compliance.
Okay. All right, Mr. Utter, what would you like to tell us?
As you said, we're working on the issue to get handled. There's just communication. I thought I was working with Mr. Stinson in the beginning, and just as of this week, I found out now I'm working with Mr. Sanders. So I've hired Metaworld Civil Consulting to assist in the issue. I'm actually going down permitting after this.
Good. Okay. All right. Any questions?
A paved parking lot for business? Is that
well, we're going to determine whether what type of surface we can use for that parking area. Because if I'm going to have to pave that whole area, I may just scratch the whole project and just go with what I've got.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to commit to compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. All right. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 31. CEB 05-17-55, Melissa Cheney, 1314 Fletcher Avenue. Respondent present. Yes. Sorry you had to wait so long. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record and be sworn in. Hi.
I'm Melissa Cheney, the reporter. No language.
Okay, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson and from Mr. Sanders.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for termination of compliance or non-compliance, the inspector, Sherry Sanders, and the reporter says the car is still there. Mr. Sanders asked that you make a finding of non-compliance and give the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. What would you like to tell us?
I just received the notice, my very first notice that I received on Tuesday night, and I have somebody coming this morning. I didn't know.
You can come up to the mic.
So it'll be resolved within.
Okay,
you've
got okay, so okay. You've got till May 31st.
Good.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Yeah. Harrington made the motion. Mr. Weatherholtz, a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Smart is no longer here.
Yes, Mr. Smart has left.
He's on.
Okay. We still have a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Case number 32, CEB 05-17-56, FOMA, LLC. and Hagen Terrace, the vacant lot. Is the respondent present? Please come forward. Sorry I had to wait so long.
Vicki George, and I'm representing Angeline Forrest for so long.
Okay.
Can you raise your right hand, please?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me where or from
the
testimony
you have to
write?
Is
it
your
holder than
other
literature?
I do.
All right, thank you.
Excuse me,
who did you say you were
representing?
Angeline Forrest. Angie Forrest. I'm sorry, I don't understand the relationship.
Oh, well, I'm
the cousin.
I'm her cousin, and I'm also a power of attorney.
Okay, she is the what?
She is the owner.
Of the Fomar? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Now, Chair Members of the Board, this is before you for finding of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. The property, Mr. Sanders reports that he is had no contact, but he saw that they did put the property on the trespass arrest plate, so he figured someone was working on it. He's asking that the property be found in, that the respondent be found in non-compliance and be given until next cutoff to come into compliance. And I'm telling Mr. Sanders.
Jay Sanders. Shortly after our pre-meet, I did have no contact until we did get contact after the pre-meet. We had a meeting on the property, and she's come up with a plan, and I'll let her
come up with a plan. Okay, Ms. George, please come forward.
Okay. I just kind of got involved in this rather late. We just received a letter about 11 days ago, and I didn't even know it existed. And what happened was Ms. Forrest has owned the property for years, and her brother has taken care of it. And I guess he must have gotten the letter. He must have gotten the letter in the beginning, and then he didn't do anything about it, and he passed away. He was in hospice, Mike Forrest. And he passed away, and we didn't know anything about it until we received this final notice. So I have a company I've had come out there, and they're going to do everything that you're requiring to do.
Good.
So
okay,
I've got it.
Perfect.
They're going to start it next week. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. That'll be good. Just keep in touch with Mr. Sanders. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliant in order the respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date of May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Harrington made the motion. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign is opposed. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Case 33, CED. 0517-57, Horace Staten. Please come forward.
Good morning. Horace Staten, 857 Hollywood Street.
I do. All right, we'll be right with you. Sorry it's taken so long. All right, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Sanders.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports he's had no contact from respondent, but the property remains in non-compliance. He's asking that you give until next cutoff for him to come into compliance.
Okay. Do you want to add anything right yet? Okay. Okay. All right. Please come forward and tell us what you're going to do.
I've already moved the trellis, the boat. I guess everything. I've never talked to anyone. I'm sorry. I didn't know to call him.
Okay. Well, you can get with Mr. Sanders and he can come out and reinspect the property, and so you can talk to him right now and get that done. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and our respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Number 34, CB05-17-58, Angela Lee of 1109 Lewis Drive. Please come forward. And again, I will apologize to all of you that are still here. Okay.
Angela Lee.
Okay, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Sanders first, and then we'll give you a chance to talk.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that the owner has told him that they're working on the violations. This is a vacant rental property. Mr. Sanders is asking that you find a respondent in non-compliance and give them until next cutoff to come to compliance. Now, turn to Mr. Sanders for any additional factual questions.
Do you have anything you want to add, Mr. Sanders?
No.
So you've spoken to?
Yeah, Ms. Lee has stayed in contact,
uh-huh.
And up till about a month ago, there was no contact.
Okay.
And that's what's brought us here.
Okay. All right, because the notification went out the 21st of November, so we're been working on this a while. Okay, so please come forward. Tell us what you'd like to tell us.
Hi. I've been working on the property. I initially brought it as a second home,
mm-hmm.
to be near my mother. She has been ill at one point. I have been, and then I had a tenant there that I had to evict.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me some time, and then I was working with a contractor that took my money and not do the work that I don't think he was licensed to begin with. But I have been in contact with Mr. Sanders, but I was trying to finish everything before I called him back for re-inspection.
Right.
So that was the gap in the non-communication.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to suggest that you stay in contact with him as you get things done. So.
I will.
Okay. Any questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or a respondent committed to compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right.
Not even our last page, but we're getting there.
Case number 36, CEB05-17-60, Miguel Atarguana and Christina Helgemo. I don't know how you pronounce that. If they're here, I apologize. Okay, they're not here.
This property is before for the determination of compliance or non-compliance, and Inspector Jerry Sanders.
Okay.
The Mr. Sanders reports that he's had no contact with the respondent. He reports that the property remains in non-compliance. He asks for you to make a finding of non-compliance and to get tell next call for respondent to come into compliance.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and a respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, 5/31/17, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second.
Second.
Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 37, CEB05-17-61, Leonard Richford at 147 Michigan. And I will say good morning to you and apologize to you. Pretty soon I'll have to say good afternoon.
My name is Leonard Richford, Jr., 147 Michigan Ave, Daytona Beach.
Can you bring in, solemnly swear or affirm, that the testimony
about the right of the truth
and nothing
but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. Inspector Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that the owner, he's been in contact with the owner who has been working on it, or says he has. Mr. Sanders, request that there be a finding of noncompliance and that the respondent be given until next cutoff to come to compliance, and I tend to make the same for any factual inquiries.
Okay. Would you like to add something?
Yes, I would add that he is working on getting the property cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see proof that he's put tags on the vehicles so they we can get it out of the junk vehicle criteria.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Mr. Richard, what would you like to tell us?
All vehicles in question have been tagged, titled. They're insured, the whole
right. Good start. Okay.
There is no tag on the trailer because of the theft problem I'm experiencing at the moment. I've taken the tag off the trailer.
Okay.
I advise them that it is tagged. You can check the registry
okay.
at any point.
Okay.
Okay. As far as the cleanup goes, we've got 85% to 90% of it cleaned up.
Right.
We're in the process. I have the trailer there that I just picked up the lumber needed to do some other repairs
mm-hmm.
around the okay. storm damage on the fence there.
Right. Okay. Just stay in touch with Mr. Sanders so we can dispose of this. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day for such motion.
So moved.
Mr. Harrington makes motion. Mr. Jones is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
One question.
Go ahead.
If there is a end of the month, I'm going to say first.
Uh-huh.
I travel the state of Florida. I am home during this.
Uh-huh.
I took a day off from work from Fort Lauderdale to be there today.
Okay.
Okay. Do I have to be in attendance every time?
No. If you're in compliance, yeah, there would be really no reason. It would state on our agenda in compliance, correct?
Okay.
So you would just have to get in touch with Mr. Sanders and let him know that you're in compliance, and he will go inspect and let you know if you're in compliance. Correct?
Yes, I just need permission from him to go back and say,
okay,
this is okay. what it looks like,
okay.
or look at, and I'll okay it or not.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. Thank you. All right, case number 38, CB05-17-63, Land Trust 905 Redwood. At 905 Redwood. Respondent present? Nobody here is... No. Okay.
Okay. Madam Chair, before you put a determination of compliance or noncompliance, the inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports he's had no contact from the respondent. He's requesting that you make a finding of noncompliance and give the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, May 31st, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day if there's such a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Then CEB 051764-64, Land Trust 920 Rosewood. Same thing.
Yes, this one is as well. Compliance or non-compliance, the inspector is Mr. Sanders. No contact with the owner. There are some tears abandoned, at least Mr. Sanders indicates, and I see that Mr. Bryant wants
okay.
to address the board on this system.
Okay, come on up, Mr. Bryant. Good morning.
Good morning, I guess. Charles Brown.
I do.
Almost good afternoon, board.
I know, really.
I just wanted to testify on behalf of this property because it's right across the street from where I live.
Uh-huh.
This is a rental property. It's been a police issue in the past. I've reported it several times. It's like a flop house for drug activity. And it's been on police. It's been over there several times. For this property, but I know she didn't have it down for a rental, but it is a rental property that doesn't have a license.
Okay, thank you. And so both of these properties are across the street from you, or just this one?
This one is...
I mean, it's the same land trust.
Right. Redwood is the block.
Oh, Redwood. Okay, I see that. One's Redwood. Okay, got it. Okay, go ahead, Mr.
If I may, both properties are not secure, and that's That's a problem.
Okay.
This one here, when I went to inspect this one, it looks like every other one I've inspected, and that's why I didn't put it under remodel.
So is it vacant?
Yes.
Vacant, right.
It's not secure?
But not secure. So we'll need to, and is the other, now it doesn't say the other property, is that going back to case number 38, is that property secured?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So we can add that motion? Yeah, we'd have to revisit that. Two separate motions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Right. Resolve this one and then
right.
We'll go
back to that one. Okay.
And also the fire department's been out there. He has no electricity.
Uh-huh.
We have a lot of problems with electricity at this.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date 5/31/2017 and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. And further entertain a motion to authorize the city to secure the property. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Jones. Second?
Second,
Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, let's go back to case number 38 and put an additional motion for CEB05-17-63. The chair will entertain a motion to authorize the city to secure the property. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second? Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Aha, here we go. Case number 40, CED05-17-65, the Coroneus Group, LLC, expired business tax receipt at 119 Thomason. All right, Mr. Jackson.
This is before you put compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that just what it indicates, that this property now does not have the required business tax receipt. And so we ask for finding a non-compliance to get them into our next cutoff to come to compliance. We'll be subject to the administrative fee of $250.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date of 5/31/2017 or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time $250 BTR fine. All right, such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Harrington? Second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, miscellaneous business. Okay, well, we won't take too long in this. What I wanted, I know this is that sometimes during the conduct of the meeting that we have questions, the board has questions. If right now we could come up with maybe a list of a few things that we would like to discuss, we could call a workshop for the board and just have Ms. Jackson.
I think we have to deal with the closure issue because since it's brought to our attention,
right?
We need the staff to have the policy how you want us to handle it. I mean, we're not going to do. I know they mentioned presentation before closing on, but you're not going to do that. So we're going to pick and choose those.
All right.
Right. I believe that we. Yes,
so we can talk about foreclosure issues. What else would you like?
And I believe that we've already kind of addressed it, but with some clarity, let's get some clarity for the authority. And
I think the board would like the opportunity to tell you, go ahead and launch your foreclosure property.
Yeah.
By our leads.
Yeah, I think we created some kind of blanket of pool, but that was a long time ago. I'm not sure what the status is.
All right.
But,
there were other things. Mr. Weatherholt, you had mentioned something.
For one thing, on the residential property, whether it's homestead.
Right. Okay. So homestead. Okay. Whether we can address anything about that or not. Okay.
Then remember, the statute doesn't give us certain rights and responsibilities.
Okay.
It doesn't speak to homestead property, so we need to get some records.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Harrington?
I was going to say, and this is Inspector reminded me to point out to you that they have created a position where an inspector that will have a sole duty of dealing with distressed properties and property for condemnation.
Condemnation property. So we need to be caught up on what the city is actually starting to do, so we're aware of that.
Yeah, it may point out to you that they have some recommended changes to the condemnation statute that I think going through first reading.
Right.
So it's
okay.
It'll be coming up, I think,
right,
on the next committee.
But if we can discuss what the city is actually considering, that would have an effect on our board in any way.
Yeah, another thing, one case we had, an ongoing case with the apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The inspectors go out there and they see a code violation. But it's really up to the building official to determine
condemnation
or any of these issues as far as permits or anything. And the building official, I believe, can close down the building if it's unsafe, but it has to be
done. So we'll discuss all of those things in a small workshop at a time that will be convenient to everyone. That'll be part of it.
And I'd like to hear from the building official.
Okay, so maybe we can get somebody from license and permit, right? Right. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I'd like to discuss whether it's necessary or desirable. It's probably not necessary under it, but I think it's desirable to discuss the properties that are in the CRA, and if the CRA has any opinion as to measures that could be taken.
So we want to discuss properties and CRA's opinions about, what?
You know, whether if that is to be the case, then it should be included in our hearings.
Okay.
I think the article in the paper recently regarding CRAs and rental units and people bringing on short term, that the state will then be granting authority for that regardless of what the local deems appropriate. Has anybody read about that or know about it?
I don't think the legislation did. I don't know if they passed the law at all.
They just didn't bring it up.
So we can actually enforce the laws that are on the books right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I have another question.
Yeah. Okay.
That could be addressed. If there is a police issue, continuing police issue, who does that go to? If anybody, how is that addressed as a long-term solution? Is the police going to be called 500 times? Am I asking for the answer now? Seems logical that when somebody says the police have been there 50 times, and that seems unbelievable that nothing else has happened.
There's practical answers and then there's legal answers. I mean, the answer is that in our code we have provisions. One is for nuisance abatement.
Correct.
Which is when it's... But this specific criteria to fit into the nuisance abatement, number of sales of drugs or prostitution or about a certain number of times in a time period to declare it a nuisance,
there are cases that have been
trapped and we're moving forward on getting things going forward. So you have a nuisance abatement. You also have, we have user fee that's a part of our code.
Correct.
For when that you can move forward on charging a fee for the excessive call.
Who would bring that? Who's going to take the leadership on staff to bring that to that appropriate board?
Now that's not a board action, but it's something that's been done and it's been continuously done. It's really something that's just not spoken of a lot.
Right,
I think right now that's kind of the role that Desmond has. That's one part of what he does is handle those types. And you know, for a brief period of time, we had a gap in having that liaison role, but that is something that's something that's always been ongoing. And obviously, there's a lot more emphasis and attention on getting those things as tools, additional tools, and dealing with these problems.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that we'd like to get more clarification on. Right, and if there's something else, we can ask Amy. Just the board and the people that need to address these issues, and we'll agree on a time and a place where it's convenient for everyone.
And I know some of these of the condemnation is good, but some of these pictures we see that people inhabit places.
That's right. About condemnation.
I mean, it's a health and safety issue, and how do we enforce?
We can enforce that, and we probably should know the difference between condemnation and a health and safety issue. And most of the time, with the health and safety issue, the building is empty,
Well, you're really saying life safety versus
life safety.
Condemnation issues. Generally, the general health, safety, welfare issues are more follow into
right. So that could be part of that discussion as well. Okay, is there anything else, Mr. Jones, you want to talk about something else?
I think we need to pass an agreement here that when we drift over to the lunch hour that the city provides.
There you go. Okay, is there anything else?
Situation on driving.
Right.
All right. That will be taken care of, I'm sure.
Okay. One other thing.
Go ahead.
I understand that the city has hired Bruce Riggio to help this little hotel job, which is great.
Yeah.
He can back, I would like to have somebody to back me up.
Right.
I can back to do that for me. Us too.
Right.
I know Steph has a problem with it.
That sounds like a good idea.
I get sick, which, you know, I do that in this week.
Right.
Yeah, I'll look at the resolution and make sure there's no restrictions, but sounds like a very good idea. No, not at all.
I can give Amy, I can't be there for reason. Hold the ball.
Absolutely.
Remember when you weren't here that that was the one time we refused to bring a motion forward?
Yeah, we did because we didn't have counsel here.
Yeah.
Which was, I thought, reasonable.
Would we fine for it?
We should have fined him.
Kidney stones.
Is there anything else? All right, thank you. Meeting adjourned.